Budget pressures at agencies lead them to look for innovations in places they didn't think innovation was possible before. One of those areas is training. Intelligent Decisions Vice President Rhett Butler is my guest on Industry Chatter today to talk about how training and preparation is changing for warfighters. Rhett, it is great to have you on the program. Thanks for being here today.
Francis, thanks for having us in. We appreciate the opportunity and look forward to the discussion today.
Me too. Tell me first what you do overall for your customers in the federal space.
We are Intelligent Decisions have been in business since 1988, supporting the federal customer across a wide range of capabilities. Our customers range from the DOD to the civilian space, as well as the intelligence community at large. And so what we also provide then, we do a lot of work in the wireless, mobility, cybersecurity, and the training and simulation is a little bit newer for us in the past few years. We're very proud of that. We also have an app development company that we utilize as well to increase as the Fed and IT as a whole moves toward a more mobile workspace, the applications and the availability of data is critical.
The training and simulation piece, I think, is the most interesting because there are fewer companies in that space than in the others. What was it that prompted you to want to go in that direction when you started that practice?
I appreciate you asking that. You know, Intelligent Decisions as a company, we're always prompted by the entrepreneurial nature and of our owner, Harry Martin. Harry is definitely interested in the new technologies and how they're going to support our customers. And we are definitely in a position to support that. Our training and simulation offering to the DOD space is based in our Orlando office. As most people may or may not know, the UCF campus is a hotbed of activity in the training and mobility, the training and simulation space. And we've had the opportunity to work with one of our customers we've worked with for a very long time in developing an organic ground-up application utilizing some technologies that people may be familiar with in the video gaming spaces with popular game console games out there, but also utilizing the technology that we have to provide a 3D type of atmosphere and training to provide advanced training for soldiers without sending them overseas or that kind of thing.
What are some of the kinds of training that you can offer that way that otherwise somebody would have to be in a real-life environment to get?
We can absolutely put as many scenarios as you could possibly imagine, that, and it's really up to the engineers. If anyone's familiar with the technology and as it's moved forward and the graphics capabilities, we're limited only by the imagination on the types of scenarios we can put in. We can do solo scenarios, team scenarios, even to the point of training for some PTSD decompression and that type of thing that we've been able to start to move toward with our training and simulation capabilities.
Now, I think most people's common perception of simulation is a flight simulator, and then you go from that to, as you mentioned, some of the popular video games as a platform. But that's not by any stretch of the imagination the only things that people are training on. I understand that people train on situations with native speakers in potential locations around the world and all those kinds of things. Is that the
absolutely
case?
And that speaks to the engineers that we've brought in and support. We have Clarence Pape runs that organization for us out of the Orlando office and does a phenomenal job of coordinating across mediums and specific topics. To talk to that specifically, we started to move into the medical fields as well. The more there's a tactile sensation to train surgeons and a 3D environment, it's a much safer environment to test and test capabilities in. And also, you know, you can get a real world test. Again, without as the cost of travel and fuels and logistics becomes a hindrance, mm-hmm. Can help move organizations forward.
So it really is then an imagination issue and not a technology issue.
The technology has allowed us to expand the imagination and what the capability is. So absolutely, yeah. I would a testament to that. The technology and what Intelligent Decisions has added to the capability is our logistics capabilities. For instance, on the it was called the Dismounted Soldier Program at Award. Dismounted Soldier Training System, DSTS, is fully deployable, can be deployed within 4 hours anywhere in the world and set up in a test and training environment, which then leads back to what we discussed on the logistics and the availability to make sure that the customer is getting what they need without the high cost of of having that effectiveness of training, and then also evaluating the people on their teams.
Are there situations that you've run into where you've wanted to do simulation where either you're not able to do it yet or it doesn't turn out to be the best fit for that type of application?
I would say in the short term, absolutely. But I would say when I look at the business that we've built, it has been built out of evolution from just exactly what you just talked about. And when we have hit a roadblock, our teams in Orlando have found a way to make it work and to establish what they need. For instance, in the last year or so, they changed all of the graphics that are involved in simulation run by a graphics engine. Without getting too technical, because I'm more of a sales guy.
Uh-huh.
The graphics engine itself, we updated those to more current. So that gives you the capability if you're in a crowd environment in a simulation environment, the crowd can be simulated where the people in the background, for instance, all do different things or can, you know, provide different reaction to some type of action by the person being tested or evaluated. Within the scenario.
Is computing power and capability the primary hindrance to being able to keep moving forward? And is the ability to buy more power cheaper what primarily drives the evolution of the kinds of things you're talking about?
I think you just talked about IT as a whole. And I mean, that's absolutely what drives IT as a whole. And IT drives this component as well. On the simulation side, you know, what you want to do is not have to build a 70,000 square foot facility to train two people. So absolutely, as the technology gets lighter, quicker, less power, you know, and that speaks to all technology as we've seen phones and tablets and, you know, that type of thing evolve. And that also goes into the data center. Deploying these units also involves the availability of a mobile network, to network these systems together. So absolutely, to your point, the hindrance would be, you'd love to be able to put everything in the size of a small 5x7 notebook and move on. Until we get to that point, we're going to have to continue to be, effectively, use our imagination effectively to make sure we get to that point and then make it reality.
All right. You gave me a good segue there to talk about mobile networks, and that's the piece of it, of mobility, that I think maybe we don't focus on as much in the government space. We think about the devices a lot, but not about the ability to deploy the actual network wherever it needs to go. That sounds like that's what you're referring
Absolutely.
To. What is the state of the art there now? What's possible today that maybe wasn't possible a year or 2 years ago?
I don't know that. I think possibility might not be the actual term.
Okay.
What is available now makes it a little bit different. The availability of... So let's talk about the cloud, for instance. We've buzzworded cloud to death.
No
However,
kidding.
It's critical. The cloud has existed for a very long time. The cloud didn't just start a couple weeks ago. But as networks became bigger, floor space became at a premium, you know, especially in the federal marketplace, but also across enterprise or around the world, the availability of power, you know, are we using solar? Are we using wind? How do we maximize that at that point to take some dependency away?
Mm-hmm.
That moves into that drives everything we do. The vehicles we drive, how many plug-in stations do we see now? That's no different in the computing world, in the IT space. As we move forward, some of our offerings include, we have some excellent expertise around virtual VDI, the virtualization of a complete network. And so what you move into from a business model perspective is the availability to your customers to be able to provide a virtualized network, virtualized cybersecurity, virtualized software availability, and access to that data from any device anywhere in the world. One of our biggest customers coined a phrase, and it was there was no trademark or patent, so I can use it, but anytime, anywhere, on any device. Mm-hmm. And that's really what we are all looking for. At 2 a.m. when I'm looking at sales numbers, or if you're looking to research a story or whatever the case may be, we want to have that data.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when I know generationally, when I was growing up, I used to have to go to a library and grab an encyclopedia and hope it was the latest version.
Yeah.
It's weird to think about that now, isn't it?
It really is. My son is 13 and can't understand what the encyclopedias at grandma and grandpa's house even are for, let alone what's in them and how recent or not recent the information might be. What is the possibility then, if that's what we're going to talk about, for expanding mobile networks to be able to include devices that maybe we're not thinking about today. You've got a smartphone. I've got one. You've probably got a tablet. I just got one. I'm a little behind the times. but those are the tools that we're expecting to see now. That wasn't the case 3 years ago, so it's reasonable to assume in 3 years we'll be thinking about things that we're not today.
Well, I mean, again, when you talk about 3 months obsolescence of product, mm-hmm. 3 years is an eternity. As a matter of fact, I got my first tablet 3 years ago. I just replaced it today, and that old tablet might as well be a stone tablet.
Yeah.
The availability to process the networks moving forward, and the Orwellian concepts of years ago coming forward. Google Glass is probably the most interesting thing. We were skiing this weekend, and Oakley has a goggle out now. It's upwards of $600+, but you can track people on the slopes. You can read a text on your goggles. It'll tell you how fast you're going.
Jeez.
That's the future. That goggle becomes $100 when the computing power becomes mm-hmm. more prevalent and more people adopt it. Google, walking down the street without holding a phone, we'll have literally no social interaction, and probably within the next 10 years.
I hope that's not the case basis, because it would kind of defeat the purpose of a radio show at that point.
Well, and that's, we'll do everything we can to help keep that going.
I appreciate that very much. We'll talk more about it when we come back on In Depth with Francis Rose. Rhett Butler of Intelligent Decisions is my guest. We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com. Rhett Butler of Intelligent Decisions is my guest. We have talked about mobility a lot, and you mentioned cloud a little bit, and it strikes me that we're starting to see a convergence of those two things where they're going to be maybe not interchangeable, but interlocked for the foreseeable future. Is that the way that your company is strategizing on those two areas?
Absolutely. I think if you're not, you're barking up the wrong tree from if you're in our space. Basically, the data drives everything, and the accessibility to the data goes back to the anytime, anywhere, any device concept that is so many agencies follow, whether they say it or not.
Mm-hmm.
Because God forbid something does happen when your workers are away from the office, or if they are away from the office, or if they're working in Atlanta, these days, and they can't get in, and you don't want to lose productivity from a federal perspective as well. And there's federal offices all over this world.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if everybody knows that. So it's not limited to just this area where this is important. It's actually more important, if you get out west and you have some really remote locations, and if you think about everything the federal government does and the importance of where people are, and they're not all in the middle of major cities. So the data has to exist somewhere where it's safe, has to exist somewhere where you're not spending all of your budget on power to make sure it's there. But, make sure that the cloud is there. And so we have options to build clouds for our customers utilizing the partners that we have across the networking space, the wireless space, the storage, and cybersecurity. But then when you really start to take a look at virtualizing the data, that's really something that what has reared its head in the past several years is another option, and that is to virtualize into a cloud environment in large data centers where that's hosted. And the federal government has taken that on. A couple agencies have actually moved their email into Google Mail, and that's a complete virtualized environment. Eliminates the need for several jobs. If anybody's ever managed an email server, it's not an easy task. It's constantly evolving. As you think of, whatever the headcount is or the number of people on that, you have to be that quick ahead of it to make sure that the data is accurate and that it works.
Mm-hmm.
Emails is a legal medium of communication these days, and so it's critical that those messages get out. If you're talking about disaster recovery, emergency scenarios, or even just making sure you get that PO in correctly so that we can move business and keep the economy rolling. Those things are all equally important to us, to make sure that we keep it moving. And the data is critical to that. And the mobile devices are always going to evolve. The bottom line is, what are the policies? What do the policies dictate that there's a lot of flexibility within the agencies, or does the policy dictate that they're 3 or 4 years behind? And that's really what's going to move it forward. The technology's there, and it's always going to evolve. It's just a matter of the policies that are in place, whether it be a bring-your-own device, which is starting to get more traction, which brings on security concerns, which we're prepared to handle, you know, if anyone's looking for that. But then we can also, you know, support activities and helping to move forward by developing apps that work across mobile device platforms.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned something that I don't hear a lot of talk about, but that I know agencies are thinking about, and that is energy consumption. Mm-hmm. You phrased it, not spending all your money on power.
Right.
And I wonder if we can expect to see some advances in that area in the coming years, because that strikes me as a tremendously logical place for agencies to want to save money if the innovation exists for them to be able to do it.
It's never the first bullet,
mm-hmm.
But when we talk about data center consolidation, and that's there are requirements from the federal CIO, from the individual CIOs and the CIO council, for these data center consolidations, and almost exclusively that ties around power.
Mm-hmm.
The first bullet is always real estate, you know, and then a secondary, as we move forward, if anyone wants to Google green buildings, it's real.
Yeah.
I mean, and it's a GSA is the largest landholder in the U.S., possibly the world, and that's one of their biggest business functions, is to be the landlord for the federal government. And so as they do that, it's imperative for the GSA to make sure that as these buildings are built, that the power consumption is a priority moving forward, because it is a cost issue. And then if we're looking at alternatives, to how are we doing that? Is it solar? Which, you know, I'm not a power expert, but as I see it, wind power seems to be, when I fly across the country, I see a lot of windmills, and they're starting to pop up in major cities and support and on the coast.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that is a testament to, I mean, people wouldn't do that just because it's fun. You know, they're definitely doing it out of a necessity, and to make sure that we are utilizing power successfully. And every one of our partners who's in the space of filling data centers with any equipment, if anybody's been in a loud, noisy data center that's definitely warm, a big capability is cooling. And so alternative sources of cooling are a big priority in the data centers as well. And our partners are positioned to do that, and we've definitely had to address it across the board.
You mentioned seeing the various types of renewable energy as you fly across the country, and as you talked about that, I thought, yeah, people wouldn't be doing those unless they saw an ROI. And the next progression of that is, it strikes me that ROI, if it's not already the number one question that agencies are asking you about, probably will be really soon. Are you getting that all the time?
That goes right back to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
just about energy, about everything.
Yes. And that's blended into it. Mm. I mean, part of that ROI is energy consumption of, you know, rack space, you know, really in the data center. You know, the other ROI is, you know, are there employees on the road are they commuting an hour and a half each way? How do we solve that problem? You know, is the kid sick today? And the federal government has rules and regulations where their employees can be home and to take care of those things and to make sure that they're off the roads. You know, and we talk about congestion. We definitely live in an area where we live that. You know, to alleviate that congestion, I know for one, the telework's working, because on Fridays it's a lot later than it is any other day.
Yeah.
And I think everybody in this listening area and in this area knows that.
Mm-hmm. Demonstrating an ROI, seems to me, will be the most important thing for somebody in your position to do moving forward. Am I off base there?
It's the primary key.
Yeah.
Any federal dollar in any business, for that matter, but specifically we are talking about the federal space. Maximizing the dollar, you know, or is your return on investment, are you getting 5 cents back on the dollar? Are you able to increase the value of that dollar by mm-hmm. what you're doing? The ROI on, you know, and that goes across the board. The key, I've been told by many people in the federal government, their number one resource are their people, and the people have to be productive no matter where they are. And by maximizing the return on investment for every dollar spent on IT, there's also consideration for, you know, that may be replacing a job that someone has to do, or maybe creating a new job, you know, and so that's part of it as well. The ROI on the equipment, it's definitely part of every discussion we have whenever there's a new discussion of technology, whether it be professional services or to the hardware. And it goes back to our training and simulation discussion. If everybody could just fly everybody in to do training in a large facility, and they would. But, you know, the opportunity to do that in your own facility without the travel, without the liability and logistics is a big deal. So
we just have a couple of minutes left.
Yeah.
What would you like to be able to do for your customers 2 years from now or 5 years from now that you can't do today? Doesn't matter why. Technologically, it's a space you don't work in right now, whatever. But where would you like to be somewhere in the future that you're not today?
We believe that, and that's a really good question.
Which is what people always say as they're formulating the answer.
You're not supposed to wrap me out like that. You know, as we look forward to the future of what we have, if you're not evolving in this business, then you're basically in a liquidation strategy. So if we were to stand pat and we think laptops and desktops were the way of my, if I sat here and said, I want a laptop on every desk, my CEO might come over here and really give me kind of look down the barrel at me a little bit.
Slip.
Yeah. So, I think ideally what you want to do is make sure it goes back to that. Are we helping the federal customer maximize the dollar, and are we utilizing their best resource, their people? So what I'd like to be able to do is provide a more seamless operation and access to the data. What that looks like in 2 years, I literally can't sit here and tell you that, but that's the mode that we want to move to. And can we make that more affordable, and in a better option for the federal government to either finance or pay for those costs? And then use other dollars to move their mission forward. I think that's where we'd like to be.
Excellent. It's great to have you in the studio. Thanks very much for
Thanks
coming.
A lot.
Time
I appreciate
really flies,
it.
Rhett.
Yeah.
Rhett Butler of Intelligent Decisions, my guest on Industry Chatter today on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.